Johnson here. He's an ag engineer presenting in the econ session.
Yeah, and I've been listening, and I don't think I'm in the right place, Jeannie. But we'll go forward anyway. What we've been doing for the last 3 years is looking at the viability of pickers operating on the high plains. You look at cotton production in Texas as a percent of the U.S. crop, and obviously we've been taking more and more of that share as acreage in other places is going to other crops with different commodity prices and whatnot. But a lot of that has to do with the fact that we just don't have a whole lot of options on the high plains to grow anything else. So we also look at some of the fiber quality implications, and it's pretty, how do you have to stop? Oh. Sorry. You look at what's going on in the high plains. If you look at the number of bales in the U.S. that graded base grade or better, in 2007 about 36% graded base or better. In Lubbock it was 35.6. That is a huge jump from if you look in previous years where that U.S. number was pretty similar and the bales classed in the Lubbock classing office, that number was more like 14%. So we've seen a huge improvement in the fiber quality characteristics of high plains cotton. But you switch over to the international base grade and we'll look in a minute at where our cotton is going. But only 8.8% of the U.S. bales graded international base grade or better. And in Lubbock, about 8.4% were grading international base grade or better. Okay, so we're looking at these two distinctions in our fiber quality. Now we look at the price that we're receiving per bale if that bale is grown in West Texas versus whether if it's grown in the Southwest. If you get a bale that grades base grade, U.S. base grade in West Texas, you're going to receive a 61-point discount, or you did in 2007 marketing year. If you grew a bale of cotton that came out of the classing office with the exact same grade and you were marketing out of Southwest, you were only receiving a 9-point discount. Okay, you go to a bale that has international base grade, you're talking about a 422-point premium versus that same bale coming out of Southwest sold for a 1,125-point premium. Why is that? It's because West Texas cotton over the years has developed a reputation among textile mills that you're going to have more problems spinning that cotton, even if it's grading the same. And so they're willing to pay less for it. And so it's a stigma that we're going to have to overcome, and there's going to have to be some real technological innovations, whether that be in the fiber packages and the genetics, or whether that be in the way that we're treating that cotton after it's grown, if we're going to overcome some of these issues. And we look at where our cotton is going. That 8.8% of our crop meeting international base grade is not going to cut it for much longer because more and more of our cotton is going overseas. So the objectives of this research were to see, okay, we've been losing acreage out of California, and there's a lot of textile mills that are used to dealing with California cotton, and now they're getting West Texas cotton. Is there a way that we can produce a marketing pool of cotton in West Texas that could actually meet some of those demands from those textile mills that are accustomed to processing a different type of cotton? So we wanted to holistically examine the implications of using picker harvesters to replace stripper harvesters on high-yielding cotton in the high plains. So what we did is we looked at some system efficiencies. How fast could you get through the field and how much did it cost you to do it? What happens to our fiber and yarn quality as we go from a stripper-based system to a picker-based system? How much are we paying to gin that cotton, and what does that do to our bottom line? So we went out and we basically all we're seeing in white here are things that we assumed in our economic model. The things that you see in yellow are things that we didn't have real good numbers for. So we went out and we measured these things over 3 years. We looked at how fast we could get through the field. How long did it take to unload? And those kinds of the factors. What are we paying for ginning, and how much, and what is the turnout, and what are we getting as far as differences in lint price? So we went out and we looked at several different locations, and we basically picked cotton out of a field scale cooperator's fields, and then we stripped cotton adjacent to that. In 2006, we looked at three treatments with one variety because we were trying to figure out what in the world we were doing. After 2006, we figured we had our feet under us, and we were able to cooperate with Randy Bowman out of the Lubbock office of AgriLife Research or AgriLife Extension, and we went on and got a little more ambitious and started looking at different varieties with a couple different treatments. And then we went on in 2008. You'll notice that that field on the top left was a drip irrigated field where we got some yields that were pushing four bales to an acre. So we got a pretty good range of fields we were looking at. Now what we noticed when we looked at time in motion is that it's hard, real hard to characterize our time in motion. How fast can we get through the field? Part of that has to do with what kind of support equipment those farmers had. A lot of it had to do with how many beers your bull buggy driver had before he was getting to you. Because there was one guy that I think every time he pulled up, he had put down another beer, and he got slower and slower as the day went on, and he started having to reposition himself a little bit more. But on average, we got about basket capacity for that picker was somewhere around 4.7 bales, which was tremendously more than we saw with the strippers, where we were having to unload about twice as frequently, and we couldn't get through the field nearly as fast. Particularly when, if you know anything about stripper harvesters, there's a 5-foot field cleaner on there, and it doesn't matter whether that stripper has 4 rows, 6 rows, or 8 rows, it's all being crammed through a 5-foot wide header. So when you get into high yielding cotton, and you're trying to cram all that through a 5-foot wide field cleaner, there were times that we could move through a field with a 6-row picker at 4 miles an hour, and the stripper was moving about 0.8 miles an hour. That makes a huge difference in how fast you're able to get that crop out of the field. So the results, we also looked at harvest efficiency, and basically what we saw was that picker, as we knew would, left more cotton in the field. We had a harvest efficiency of about 93% with the picker. With the strippers, we were pushed to 98-99%. So we were leaving pounds in the field, but what we'll see in a minute is a lot of those pounds were immature fibers that stripper was pulling out. It makes a lower quality yarn, it decreases your micronair, but you're basically running pounds versus quality. So the turnout, we saw significant differences between all of our treatments for all our varieties. We got a lint turnout overall of about 35.5% for picked samples and about 29% for strip samples. Now, our cost to producer, we looked at a couple of different fee schedules for the cost of ginning, and basically on average it costs that producer about $4.76 more per bale to gin stripped and field clean cotton compared to picked cotton, because you're paying primarily on a pound for dollars per hundredweight of seed cotton you're bringing in, and whether you're paying less with that and more bagging and tying charges, or whether you're not paying those and you're paying module transport, on average we were hitting about $4.76 per bale. Now, our HVI results, 2006, we had a pretty immature crop. I mean, 3.5 is nothing to write home about, but we did see pretty big difference in the micronair and the length uniformity between picked and stripped samples coming out of that same field. And what that did is it led to significant differences in the value of that cotton when we went to sell it. You can see that from this length distribution, though, it's skewed to the right. What that means is that those fibers were really immature compared to 2007, where a distribution like that says, hey, that cotton had time and it had the heat to really mature, fill out, and have a lot better fiber going to the gin. And so what we saw in 2007 is we didn't see those differences in micronair. We did see some difference in color, some difference in our leaf grade, but we didn't see any difference in the value of that cotton that we were trying to market. Okay, and I'm not going to go through all that, but 2008 was a little bit different in itself. That red line represents that field that was under drip irrigation. It had the heat units, it had the water to really mature, it was defoliated chemically, and it was a very nice crop. That blue line represents a field that was about 60 miles north of there. It had the bull count showed that it should have yielded about 3 bales to the acre, but a freeze came through and the producer was only able to get about 1.4 bales to the acre out of it, because that crop just didn't mature. It was just too far north. And what we saw was in those two sites where we had a little more maturity, we did see a significant difference in micronair and uniformity, but not quite as bad as we saw in 2006. Again, we didn't see any difference in the loan value. Okay, we did see some differences, though, in our APHIS results, which the folks that are buying that cotton, they don't have these numbers when they go to buy it, but it does affect how well that cotton spins. Okay, so therein lies some of the issues of folks paying less for West Texas cotton. Now, you look at site 6, this is where we had really immature cotton. As you can see, what are you going to do with cotton that has a micronair 2.3? Who in the world is going to buy it? You can't even make jeans out of it. Okay, you got to blend it with lots of other much better cotton just to make denim, which isn't a high value product. So we're running into some pretty serious issues. But again, we have some low maturity cotton. We started seeing those big differences in micronair between our harvest treatments that we didn't see in the year that we had more mature fibers. Okay, again, lots of differences in spinability of this cotton, but that's not what the mills know. So what we did then is we plugged all these things into a net present value analysis, and we looked at the values that you see there in that center column. you're going to see a black line on these graphs, and that's what they represent. And then we looked at a range of inputs for these. And what we were trying to do, all these values, we stuck with they were all the same, whether we were looking at picked or strip samples. And we looked at the differences between the harvesters, and you'll notice that picker has a heck of a lot higher price tag. But we wanted to see how things came out. We also had made some assumptions about support equipment. We basically said for every harvester you have, you're going to have a bull buggy, a module builder, and a tractor. And we made some assumptions about what percentage of that tractor's total hours were spent with harvest, and we were really trying to just isolate the harvest activities. And what we saw is that when you were comparing one picker to one stripper, so we're talking about we're running one stripper, we're thinking about replacing it with one picker, you're not going to get a production scenario on the high plains where that's going to be a profitable decision. Okay, and so if you're running one stripper, you ought to just keep running, and is basically what our analysis showed. When we looked at picking versus stripping without a field cleaner, that curve shifted. Basically, we didn't find any situation ever where you should be running your field cleaner where you should be running a stripper without a field cleaner. It was always more profitable to field clean that cotton. But when we look at the time that it takes to get that cotton out of the field, as that yield increases, you pretty quickly run into a situation when you're running one picker versus one stripper that you're going to be able to pick that cotton a lot faster. Basically, if your yield is above about 1.25 bales to the acre, you're going to be able to get it out faster with the picker. In fact, if your cotton is yielding above about 3.25 bales to the acre, which there are some irrigated producers on the High Plains that are seeing that, you can get that cotton out with one picker in the time that it would take you to get it out with two strippers. Okay, these are 2 8-row strippers compared to one picker. This is the amount of time it takes to get that cotton out of the field. And so when we look at replacing two strippers with one picker, all of a sudden the scenario changes. That break-even curve is all the way off the graph, and you're going to be more profitable picking that cotton than you would be running two strippers with two module builders, two bull buggies, and those two tractors. Again, we compare it to stripping without field cleaning. Picking comes out. Okay. Then we looked at the sensitivity of that model to our various inputs. And basically what we said is, what if we vary those inputs 10% around the means that we used? And what we saw is that when we varied those inputs concurrently, that means we increased the row spacing for both the picker and the stripper. We increased the lint price for both the picker and the stripper. You can see that model is pretty sensitive to the row spacing. It was pretty sensitive to the lint price. And those things held whether you were looking at that one-to-one comparison or the one-to-two comparison. Then we looked and said, what if we change the differential? So what if we say that the harvest efficiency of that picker decreases relative to the stripper? So they're not both going up 3%. One's going up 1.5% and the other's going down. So we're separating out the performance of those two machines. Well, that harvest efficiency is huge, and that's what we saw at that really immature site where we couldn't get the cotton out of the field with the picker. Is that we had really, really low harvest efficiency there. One of the other things that I think there's some folks up on the High Plains that were pretty disappointed when they paid for a new picker, and there were a couple of them that were parked just north of Lubbock. And that may be partly due to the variety, and it's partly due to the fact that it takes a while to learn how to run one of these pickers. There's about 3 or 4 times more different settings that you can do, and it takes time and practice and somebody to come out there with the expertise to show you how to do it. But if you have that picker set where the harvest efficiency is really low, it's not going to pay. That's what this is saying, is that model is going to be really, really sensitive to those things. And so what we determined from this is our break-even yield decreased as our area harvested per machine increased. That's not really a surprise, so we were glad to see that. Under no conditions analyzed was it more profitable to strip without field cleaning than was to strip with field cleaning. And what we saw then is that if we were looking at a one-to-one comparison, one stripper to one picker, stripping was usually more profitable. In fact, under any reasonable yield scenario, the number of acres that it would take, this is pretty much true. But when picking seemed to be more profitable if you were able to replace two strippers and all the associated support equipment with the single picker. Really want to say a lot of thanks to Randy Bowman. He did all of our interaction with our producers and helping us find places where we could go and harvest, and folks were excited to see us when we rolled up. And John Deere for loaning us that picker, and then we had funding from Cotton Incorporated, Texas Department of Food and Fiber, and Plains Cotton Improvement Council. So with that,
thank you very much,
I appreciate
Brock.
It.
Thank you.